Now a word about your ancestors and relatives. Your so-called missing link distant cousin Ida hit the headlines last week. And before that, there was more on your flat-footed family friend, the Hobbit. I went to see Professor Colin Groves in Canberra. Now, we've seen lots about Ida in the last few days, and this was actually launched on the world with some of the greatest fanfare I've ever seen, saying the world will never be quite the same after this revelation. What did you make of the announcement of this so-called missing link?
I thought the announcement was sort of wrong-headed. The real thing to celebrate was not so much this particular specimen as the site from which it comes, the site of Messel, where there are these just extraordinary fossils with, in some cases, hair traces left, body outlines, stomach contents, many, many complete skeletons. There are some species from Messel, mammals and birds, that are known from nowhere else in Europe. It's an amazing site. And, of course, we've already had several primate specimens from there, but they tend, for one reason or another, to be incomplete or something so obviously non-anthropoid that they're not exciting. This specimen, Ida, Darwinius Massilii, as the scientific name is, was a member of a family well known from the Eocene called Natharctidae, which has always been placed on the lemur lineage. And the completeness of Ida allows us to query whether possibly that's a correct placement. It might just be on the anthropoid lineage, or it might represent a third lineage not represented to either of them. In fact, all its characters are pretty primitive. It's very difficult to place, and the reasons why they suddenly decided to place it on the anthropoid lineage seem a bit unconvincing to me.
Yes, well, they're claiming it's the missing link between us and the ape and the other side of things, and there's this tremendous fuss, even though it's a complete, pretty complete skeleton. Would you rate that claim of missing linkery?
The missing link is a term usually said to mean a link which we don't have somewhere up the chain from the common ancestor between humans and chimps and modern humans. And there are breaks in the chain where we would like to know more. They're getting slighter and slighter, of course, as time goes on. But that's what people tend to mean by the missing link. And as the common human chimpanzee ancestor seems to have lived something like 6 to 8 million years ago, the idea of Ida, 47 million years old, being a missing link is utter nonsense, in that sense at least. But of course, journalists love to latch onto terms like that, even though they don't really know what it means. And in fact, when we get a new fossil that is on the human lineage, they say, oh, is it the missing link, regardless of the fact that now it's been actually found, no longer missing.
Indeed. So much of the fuss about Ida, which occupied the papers last week. Now, slightly before that, there was a very interesting fuss about the feet of the Hobbit being long and flat. In other words, the Homo floresiensis discovered some time ago on the island of Flores, just north of us. Now, that really was significant, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It certainly was. I've been saying at each new discovery, each new analysis of the LB1 skeleton, the most complete but not the only specimen of Homo floresiensis, that this is a final nail in the coffin of the deniers, those who would maintain that it's just a pathological specimen of modern humans. But of course, the deniers are very canny at seeing things their way and stretching things just a little bit. So no doubt these long feet won't be the final nail, or at least not according to them, but according to everybody else. I don't know of many serious paleoanthropologists at the moment who would deny that Homo floresiensis is a good distinct species. The feet are remarkably interesting, first of all because of their size, and secondly because of their structure. They are apparently not unlike those of Homo habilis, which is 1.8 million years old, and they have extremely long toes, and except for the great toe, which is rather short. Long toes tend to mean grasping abilities, so I wonder if Homo floresiensis wasn't sometimes arboreal, more arboreal than we are. But at the same time, the great toe was rather aligned with the other toes, suggesting that it did walk on the ground a good deal as well.
Professor Colin Groves at the Australian National University in Canberra, and a topic we shall no doubt return to often.